This episode is brought to you by Hill's Pet Nutrition. Every shelter pet deserves a second chance, and you're making it possible for thousands of them every day. Because when you feed your pet Hill's, you help feed a shelter pet, which helps make them healthy, happy, and more adoptable, changing their life forever. So they can change yours. Over 14 million shelter pets fed and adopted. Science did that. Visit hillspet.com/podcast to learn more.
Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady. Live only on Netflix.
Do you know what I use to record these podcasts? It's Anchor by Spotify. It's the easiest way to make a podcast with everything you need all in one place. Let me explain. Anchor has tools that allow you to record and edit your podcast right from your phone or a computer. It's all really, really easy. It's all really intuitive. When hosting on Anchor, you can distribute your podcast on listening platforms like Spotify, Apple Podcasts, and more. It's everything you need to make a podcast.
Good afternoon. Welcome to Inside Indiana Sports Now with Kent Sterling. It's Friday, Carb Day, May 28th, 2021. We're brought to you by the great people at Today's Dentistry. Two words for you on this Friday afternoon: sedation, dentistry. Dr. Mike O'Neill's great at it. If you have a lot of dental work that needs to be done, but you'd like to sleep through it as Dr. Mike O'Neill executes it, call 317-849-2933. Punch subscribe. Hit like, ring the bell, let's go, let's talk about sports. It's a mailbag Friday. We get questions, and the people who ask the questions, they get answers. If they're good questions, we answer them here on the show. All right, this is from Gwen in Connersville. Wants to know what I think about NBA fan behavior, and she references Russell Westbrook getting a bunch of popcorn dumped on his head. Here's what I think. It's idiotic, it's foolish, right? Fans have got to be better than that. But I'll say this too, that the players need to stop responding. Do you know why Russell Westbrook is constantly picked on by fans? Because he responds. If you want an idiot to stop being an idiot, you ignore the idiot. This is common sense. We learned this in grade school, didn't we? If you got like a fourth grader who picks on you and you respond to being picked on, it just fuels the fire and makes it fun for everybody. So ignore the idiots. Let the arena take care of the consequences upon the idiot, banning them from the arena, or, you know, stripping them of season tickets and their privilege to buy more season tickets. That's a cool deal. But referencing them in post-game press conferences or talking about them later is just stupid because it fuels them. Easy enough. All right, this is from Curtis in Whiteland, Indiana. Wants to know if I think the Colts will take a run at Julio Jones. I'm going to answer this by giving you five numbers: 15, 11, 7, 32, and 9. What those add up to is no. The Indianapolis Colts are not going to take a run at Julio Jones. $15 million is what Julio Jones is going to be owed in salary in 2021. $11 million, that's his salary for 2022. $7 million, that's the buyout in 2023. That's what he's guaranteed for 2023. 32 is his age, the point at which wide receivers generally start to trail off. 9, the number of games Julio Jones played for the Falcons in 2020. Why? Because of a recurring issue with a hamstring. 32. People don't start getting healthier at 32. People start to feel the effects of ongoing injuries on their bodies. Expecting Julio Jones to play 16 games this coming season after he played 9 last year, it would defy logic, right? So I don't think that the Colts are going to go after Julio Jones. They've got extensions coming up. Chris Ballard has been resolute in rewarding current players, people within the Colts family, and not bringing in high-priced free agents. I would be stunned if the Colts went after Julio Jones. Productive, yes, and he has been productive. A borderline Hall of Fame career, but not the Colts' cup of tea right now. Let's remember Andre Johnson, right? Andre Johnson was a little bit older than Julio Jones is today, but still, cautionary tale for sure. If you don't believe me, ask Ryan Grigson. All right, next question is from Lamar in Greenwood. Who will gain more from Jerome Hunter going to Xavier? Indiana, Xavier, or Jerome? I think it's good for everybody. I think it's going to be terrific for Jerome Hunter to get a fresh start at Xavier playing for Travis Steele. I think it's going to be really good for Xavier because Jerome Hunter is a terrific, versatile defender who can flat shoot, but has got to start putting up better numbers in that shooting realm, especially from deep and from the foul line. And I think it's good for Indiana because it freed up a scholarship that they were able to use and go get a guy like Michael Durr. All right, they needed front court depth. They got front court depth. Jerome Hunter needed a fresh start. Xavier needed a versatile defender who can shoot the basketball like Jerome Hunter. I think everybody wins. Here's the thing, that college students have got to be allowed some latitude to grow up, right? And I think Jerome Hunter is doing just that. And guys who are in college, remember when you were in college, before we hold these guys to a behavioral standard that is unrealistic, we got to remember who we were in college before we cast judgment upon those who are in college today, whether they're athletes or not athletes. There you go. That's my screed, final screed on Jerome Hunter. We wish him absolutely the best at Xavier. 100% the best. You talk to anybody in Bloomington, they say he's a wonderful, wonderful kid. Okay, this is from Billy in Zionsville. Ever seen a play like Javi Baez pulled yesterday in Pittsburgh? I have not. To kind of rehash what happened yesterday, Wilson Contreras is on first with two outs. He steals second, okay? Baez is at the plate. He chops the ball to third. The throw from third pulls the first baseman off the bag. The first baseman runs at Javi Baez. Javi Baez, not wanting to be tagged, takes off. Everything is better than an out. The longer you can take to not make an out, the better for everybody, right? So Baez runs toward home plate, never leaves the baseline, and the first baseman runs with him. Contreras breaks from third. The first baseman, confused, throws to the plate. Contreras is safe. Baez sprints to first and gets there prior to the second baseman, who had to run over to first base to cover the bag. All Pittsburgh had to do, the first baseman, all he had to do was turn around as Javi Baez tried to get away from him, run to first, step on the bag, and it's the end of the inning. And Contreras, even if he scores or crosses the plate before the out is registered, he's out because a force play negates the scoring of the run. So Baez, by backpedaling and running away from the first baseman, caused great turmoil and confusion. The first baseman made absolutely the wrong play by throwing to the plate. Baez beats the throw to first. Then, to add insult to injury, the throw from the catcher to the second baseman at first goes into right field. And Baez takes second. And that is followed by a base hit by Ian Happ. And Baez scores. So instead of it being 1-0, that turns into a 3-0 lead for the Cubs, and they wind up winning the game 5-3. You know what? Javi Baez plays baseball with an unbridled joy that if the Cubs don't understand the value of that, they don't deserve Javi Baez. If you don't extend Javi Baez, you're idiots. I'm going to wash my hands of the entire Cubs operation if they don't sign Baez, sign Bryant, who, by the way, hit his 11th home run yesterday. If he winds up being healthy, and the Cubs, they're a half game out of first place, and it's May 28th. This is better than people thought it was going to be. They've won, what, 9 of their last 11. So they're kind of rolling a little bit. The bullpen has been terrific, setting a modern-day Cubs record for scoreless innings in a row from their bullpen. Starting pitching has not been bad. And so the Cubs are right in it in the National League Central. And these guys, they want to play in Chicago. Did we learn nothing from Larry Himes and Greg Maddux back in the day? Maddux wanted to stay with the Cubs. The Cubs didn't want to pay the extra this much money. And Maddux was willing to cut the Cubs a deal. Cubs said, no, that's fine. He can go. He goes to the Braves. And what'd he do? He won like the next 4 Cy Young Awards. For God's sake, don't do this. You've got Rizzo, you've got Baez, you've got Bryant, you've got Contreras. That gives you, that's like half your team as all-stars for the foreseeable future. Why rebuild that? For God's sake, what's Bryant, 29? Wright Contreras is in his 20s. Baez is in his 20s. Rizzo's in his early 30s. These guys can be the anchors of a Cubs franchise moving forward in the next 5 to 8 years. For God's sake, don't turn your back on that. Write the check. Cubs should not have to rebuild with the money they get from the neighborhood, from the marquee network, from ticket sales. I mean, my God, let's go. Let's be not just prudent. Let's be, you know, non-idiotic for a second if you're the Ricketts family and get these guys signed on the line, which is dotted. All right. This from William, another William, in Carmel. Who's going to win the 105th running at the Indianapolis 500? I'll tell you who. The Orb told us this morning on Breakfast with Ken, it's going to be Colton Herta. 21 years old, but Colton Herta is a really good driver who's consistent over the course of 200 laps. And that's what you've got to be. From like the first lap through the 190th lap, you're just clicking away laps. You're just running in circles, not falling behind, but not worrying and not trying to get 2 laps ahead. You're just trying to find a way to be competitive. So in those last 10 laps, you can find a way to win. And Colton Herta, I think, is the guy who can absolutely get that done. Scott Dixon's on the pole. Herta, second quick, during the Fast 9 qualification run. And so he is in the middle of row one. I think that Colton Herta wins this race. And I think he's going to win 3 or 4 Indianapolis 500s before it's all said and done. All right. This is from Scott up in Frankton. What makes you believe Carson Wentz can be an elite NFL quarterback with the Colts? This has actually been asked also from fans in Philadelphia who watch. You know what? I know. Carson Wentz has fumbled the ball 58 times and has turned it over via fumble 29 times. Now, the plus side to that is Carson Wentz, twice in his NFL career, has led the NFL in fumbles recovered. So that's kind of, I guess, good. He also led the NFL in interceptions last year with 15, in sacks against with 50 in just 12 games. So he is a negative play waiting to happen. You know what? I was cynical about Phillip Rivers coming over to the Colts last year because I thought at the age of 38, about to turn 39, he had definitely played his best football, and expecting the Colts to be a playoff team because Phillip Rivers came over after Phillip Rivers went to the playoffs once in his final 6 years with the Chargers. You know what? It seemed like a long shot. Somehow or another, Frank Reich gets the best out of quarterbacks, and I think he's going to do the same with Carson Wentz. Carson Wentz's best season with the Eagles, 2017, when Frank Reich was the offensive coordinator. I think that Carson Wentz is going to succeed because Frank Reich is going to put him in a position to succeed. I was cynical about it last year with Rivers. This year, you know what? 3 quarterbacks in 3 years. Frank Reich has really helped to be quite good. I think that that's going to be Carson Wentz this year and moving forward for the Indianapolis Colts. All right. This is from Pidger down in downtown Indiana. I know exactly where he lives, but I'm not going to tell you his address. Will Kevin Pritchard blow it up or run it back in 2021-2022? Good question. Here's the answer. He's got all these guys under contract. The Pacers and Pritchard have Domas Sabonis through 2024. They've got Miles Turner, Malcolm Brogdon, and Caris LeVert through 23. And they've got TJ Warren next year. So you've got your entire starting lineup coming back for another year. Why not run it back another year? Why not trust the kind of methodology you used in hiring Nate Bjorkgren in the first place? Trust the 5 guys you had earmarked as your starters for this season. And this, obviously, you replace Victor Oladipo with Caris LeVert, who were traded for one another. LeVert, obviously, coming here. And go do this thing again. And see if you would have been right this past year if guys had stayed healthy and Bjorkgren didn't go haywire. Under normal circumstances, let's see what happens with that group of Pacers. And then, if you want to blow it up, blow it up. And if after the first 20 games, the Pacers are 6-14, fire Bjorkgren. This offseason, hire an assistant coach who's kind of a coach in waiting. Let's go. I think you roll it back. And I know we want to get impatient. We want to hold people accountable. I'm with you 100%. I'd love to blow it up, start fresh, start accruing draft picks all over the place like the Oklahoma City Thunder have. But we don't answer to Herb Simon, who's going to start to get a little anxious as the Pacers lose 55 games in front of 3,500 fans every night at Bankers Life Fieldhouse. All right, the final question. Who is the Pacer most likely to be dealt? I think it's Aaron Holiday. I think Aaron Holiday just kind of doesn't fit on this team, to tell you the truth. You might be able to get more for Goga Bitadze, but I think it's Aaron Holiday. And you still don't know exactly what you got with Goga. So I think if you got to go get a piece, I think Aaron Holiday is the guy who allows you to go get that piece. There you go. I think Brissett comes back, O'Shea Brissett. I think the 13th overall pick, which is likely to be where the Pacers select, I think that could yield a benefit as well. We shall see. It's going to be an interesting offseason for the Pacers, just as it has been for the Colts and just as it was for the Indiana Hoosiers. Can't wait for the race on Sunday. The blackout is lifted. Thanks to yours truly. You're welcome. All right. We'll talk to you Tuesday morning, day after Memorial Day, bright and early, 8 o'clock on Facebook Live, and immediately thereafter on YouTube and everywhere else you consume Breakfast with Kent. Have a great weekend.